For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to bring to light the knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Jesus Christ. But we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. 2 Corinthians 4, 6-10. What a simple thing it is to tell it like it is, to keep it real. When we say or have said to us, "I'm just being realistic," this is usually code for one or more, if not all, of the following attitudes. "I don't want to because it's going to fail. And even if we succeed, it'll be meager and temporary. Honestly, what do you expect is going to happen since there's nothing special about us? We failed at that in the past. How can we possibly succeed by trying it again?" Good stewards wouldn't waste the resources God gave them on useless things, but would keep them for a rainy day. Now, where would you and I be if Paul had shared any of these attitudes? How easy it would have been for him to have given up on the Corinthians as the weight of his life and ministry grew heavier and heavier. Yet, he doesn't. In fact, the apostle tells us that the weight can never be too high. It will never constrain, never lead to despair, never isolate, and never destroy him. And even though death is at work in him, life is at work in the Corinthians and in others. As he diminishes, they increase. For Paul, this is possible because he remembers something that we often forget. God's glory has been revealed in our hearts through Christ, that the power of heaven might be made known through us. To put it another way, Paul remembers that he is not his own. In this new COVID-shaped landscape in which we find ourselves, many of us have discovered the simple truth that the church has already changed. There is not a new reality that is taking shape. There isn't one that has the potential to be that may arise in our near future. No, the change has already occurred. The world is already different, and it happened faster than any of us could have ever imagined. But why shouldn't this new reality have come into existence in a relative blink of the eye, since our shared and personal worlds usually experience change and tumult and upheaval long before we have a chance to prepare for them? This is the way. Now, we can react to this change in many different ways. We can give the church up for dead because it was already on life support, and bemoan all of the resources and time and energy we put into it. Or we can simply walk away. Walk away from faith, walk away from community, walk away from God. Or we can choose to fight for it in an attempt to maintain our hold on what's left, or to reclaim it, or to reshape it into our own ideal. Or we can choose to share the apostles' perspective. What we face in the church today, as well as what we face in our personal lives all the time, is bigger than we are. It's irregular and unpredictable, and it always threatens to overwhelm us. Most of the time, we attempt to plan in the hope that we can mitigate our losses, and so we don't have to rebuild from scratch when it's over. But how does that saying go? The best laid plans of mice and men? Or my personal favorite version of that is, while you're watching out for the bears, it's the moose that gets you. Regardless of history's lessons, though, we begin every endeavor convinced that this time, through careful, meticulous management and planning, by the force of our will and the strength of our conviction, this time it will be different in our family, personal, church, and/or work lives. A new day is coming, and we convince ourselves that we will make it ours. James tells us in response, "Come now, you say today or tomorrow we shall go into such and such a town, spend a year there doing business, and make a profit. You have no idea what your life will be tomorrow. You are but a puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears." Wow, some of you may be thinking, what a downer the week of annual conference. And in light of all our denomination is going through, and coming from somebody who is being elected to work with others to foster church health, no less, you're saying we just need to give up because it's all meaningless anyway? I know how it sounds, but please just bear with me. Paul realizes that all of this earthly life, as Scripture repeats over and again, will never pass the test of eternity nor survive the presence of God's glory. Things simply fall apart, and they cannot measure up to the divine. And in 2 Corinthians 4, 6-7, Paul embraces this fact. He says that the ultimate futility of our choices and actions, those that are grounded in our own strength, our own will, and by our own reckoning, that futility is a good thing. For our weakness and its futility force us to seek answers from something that is greater than we. He's not a nihilist. He's not saying that this makes life meaningless, but quite the contrary. That the result of our weakness makes our lives and ministries fruitful and life-affirming and, most ironically, lasting. But we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. The apostle's weakness and the futility of his actions and choices, the failure of his plans to materialize the desired outcomes, fail to discourage him as they would and do so often to many of us. Paul accepts that he is but beloved dust, a mere clay vessel. And by accepting this reality, he comes to realize that he already contains something wonderful, powerful, and eternal. Something not of his own creation, but given to him by grace. That is, the life of Jesus Christ. Because of this realization, Paul is able to live in each moment, no matter what befalls him, with the absolute certainty that the light will shine in others' hearts as a result of his present darkness. No matter how close he is to death, life will be ever present in them. By embracing the fact that he is but an earthen vessel, that he is but dust of the earth, the apostle frees himself from the burden of having to have all of the answers and from the weight of personal success. It frees him to look within his own heart and to find that God has already revealed there the solution to every problem. Let us pray. Gracious, patient, and ever-loving God, through your Spirit in which we live and move and have our being, no matter what problems we face in whatever situation, remind us that all we have to do is reach out and discover that you are there, for your light has already illumined the darkness. In these times, remind us that we are not our own and that we are not on our own. Remind us that through the love and care that we have for one another, that it is you who is working through us. And although we are but dust, you have entrusted to us your kingdom, your glory, and your very life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I am Patrick Cooley, pastor of Northport First United Methodist Church, and I pray that you have a wonderful and blessed Tuesday.